It's the week 11 preview of the Fantasy Fancy podcast. I'm Austin Gray, and I'm drinking Mayday. To my right is Brandon Burke.
11-11, make your wish.
It's also 11-12-13 today, I believe.
Yeah, for all those like nerds that like really miss fifth grade, and they had to write the date on every single piece of paper they used.
Nerds.
Nerd alert. Drinking Mayday as well. Yeah.
John Burr's across from me. What are you drinking, John Burr?
I'm drinking Manhattan Pale Blue Monkey. Cool. I'm drinking Coors Light.
Again.
The Silver Bullet.
It's the consistency that keeps me old.
The beer of beers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the producer, Russell Hanberry.
DJ Rusty.
I have new headphones. I don't know how to feel about that.
They're blue, and they kind of look like the Beats by Dre that Scott Van Pelt wears while on the radio, which is really humiliating for you and Scott Van Pelt.
I accept.
Is Scott Van Pelt Dan Patrick's little brother?
Scott Van Pelt is what happened to... Have you seen Flight of the Navigator?
Yes.
Do you remember the little penis creature?
Yes.
Scott Van Pelt's what happened when the little penis creature grew up.
Terrific.
With freckles. Poorly hidden by makeup freckles.
He hates fantasy sports.
Yes.
Todd
yes.
Van Pelt.
Lots of radio hosts do, because I think it's another thing that they have to learn or pretend to have learned about. Yeah. So therefore it is the enemy.
It's also something people, geeks in their basements do.
Their numbers.
All, your mom's basement.
All 2 billion of us.
Right, no shit. So single-handedly keeping Monday Night Football on ESPN afloat.
Yeah. Ugh.
Like I said, it's just something that something else they have to pretend to be knowledgeable about. C'est la vie, Scott
Fuck
Van P.
Fantasy MVP.
My vote is Rob Ryan.
Yes.
Nice.
Beers at the bar.
He doesn't play football, but he made things happen in that football game that allowed for a lot of New Orleans Saints to score a lot of points.
And conversely, a lot of Cowboy points, or Cowboys to score no points.
Yes, I think the least valuable player is Jerry Jones.
Yes.
Also spotted on Bourbon Street this weekend.
Yes. Who do you Both think had more... Ah, here we go. One probably had more sex, and one probably had more booze.
I think Rob Ryan had both. I think he did both.
If his name was Robin Ryan, that would be fucking colossal.
Could be. I've never looked into it.
I mean, is Rob short for Robin? I don't know.
It's probably short for Wobbert.
Sweet Robin.
Where's a birth certificate, Rob Ryan?
Sweet Robin Ryan.
No politics.
Okay.
No politics here.
MVP, I'm going with Tavon Austin, not just for finally showing up. He had 3 touchdowns and averaged 69 yards per catch on 2 catches.
Here's the deal, though. No one started Tavon Austin in the world.
14%.
Really?
14%.
So those are people who drafted him and are no longer checking their lineups.
Fact.
The only, actually, what, I may actually be looking at the percent that are starting him this coming week, which is embarrassing because he's on a bye.
Yes. I think that's true then. I don't think anyone in the world started
Even so,
him.
I would hope that people didn't pick him up and then insert him into their starting lineup on a week that he has a bye. I would bet that 14% was about, that's insanely low, but Jesus, if you're one of the crap shooters who put him in your...
Username RamsFan42069.
Yeah.
Fisher2006. Probably started him.
Yes.
That's different. I'm not into the Tavon Austin acquisition this week at all, because those were 2 mightily busted plays and 1 98-yard punt return they probably shouldn't have caught.
He should not have caught it.
So I don't think you can comfortably start him. I do think you could pick him up.
Let's not forget as well.
Trade him to the aforementioned Rams fan.
Kellen Kimmins is still.
Fisher 2006.
Kellen Kimmins is still the quarterback too. And he doesn't look like a supreme downgrade from Sam Bradford, I suppose.
I prefer him to Sam Bradford.
But he's still not a good quarterback.
I'd like to have a flashback to Week 10 Fantasy Podcast where I said that the Rams would destroy the Colts, and I, for once in my life, was correct.
I forgot you said that. Did you say that?
Yeah, I said it. I talked about themes and
Holy
not necessarily
Christ.
Stats, but I mean, I just saw it. I mean, those trains
How
were going
did you
in
know
different
that?
They were going in different directions. I mean, it is what it is.
MVP for me, I'm not one of the highest scorers necessarily, but I'm going to say AJ Green for the absolute bullshit 50-yard, 60-yard touchdown that he had at the end of the game. That was the kind of thing that sways an outcome.
He certainly shizzled my Kool-Aid at that moment.
Yeah. That's tough to stomach.
Yeah, I don't think I did stomach it. I think I vomited.
I don't remember what the name of that safety was, but I enjoyed him just getting bitched out on the sidelines by his teammates.
Ihedebo? Is that
yeah.
James Ihedebo.
I think yeah. Right neighborhood. Silent G. I mean, you can get bitched out by your coach, but when you get bitched out by the other players on your team, that is what's humiliating.
If he had not even stuck his arm out and just collapsed to the ground like a bug, the Ravens, it doesn't go to overtime and nothing happens.
I do get tired of listening to the sundry former NFL players scream, bat it down! Because he was trying to bat it down, he just failed at it.
Yeah.
He could have caught it, and then nothing would have happened. And yet, they still screamed for him to bat it down. How about catch it?
In the moment, I don't think he's he's listening to anyone.
No. It's certainly not Michael Irvin, Shannon Sharp, or maybe that wasn't Shannon Sharp, maybe it was the horse from Ren and Stimpy. I can't tell.
He doesn't like it.
No, sir. I don't
like LVP.
It's Jerry Jones.
Okay.
Your
Cowboys?
I'm going to go with Steven Jackson. He had 12 touches for 20 yards. And
potential LVP for the year candidate.
Very disappointing ever since I saw him on Hard Knocks going up against the Bengals. And he looked really good and got been banged up this year and just overall not been productive.
First round fantasy pick.
I think that a lot of fantasy success, as far as draft success goes, is avoiding people. Mm-hmm. It's not just picking up people, and that is somebody that I was supremely glad to have avoided.
I remember that. And I was on the opposite end of that spectrum. I really thought that, A, the Falcons wouldn't be absolutely horrible, and B, Steven Jackson would be able to find his second win in his career.
It'd be interesting to go back and look at the first round in our league, because there have been no shortage in a league as deep as ours of players that really have not performed that were first round draft picks and or gotten injured.
But he has a very special blend of both.
Yes.
He's the worst black and tan ever.
I'm content to go with Jackson.
Like the Canadian mist.
I'm sticking with Jerry Jones.
Anything else to add from week 10 before we put this mother to bed?
Would like to add that if you're into, well, maybe hazing's not the right word. But if you're into, you know, players or coaches yelling at teammates or coaches in this instance, I enjoyed more than James Ihedebo getting ranted at. Greg Jennings almost killed Leslie Frazier for calling a timeout on that Thursday night game. He almost killed him.
Wow.
I mean, if somebody didn't stop him, he was going to go up to Leslie Frazier and put his nose through his brain, a la Bruce Willis in The Last Boy Scout.
Are we on the cusp of some of the greatest game managers of all time with all the kids that have grown up playing Madden?
I should hope so. Now that Ron Rivera is even going for it on fourth downs, I think it's safe to say that the fourth down go for it is here to stay. But there's still a couple dinosaurs left, even some who are good coaches. Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy are surely good coaches, but they are the worst game managers. The worst.
Ed Reed got dropped today by the Texans for laying it out there on the line with Wade Phillips.
I think he might have just thought he was a bum.
Well, you can't be a bum and talk shit about your coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a bad combination.
You can be a good role model for your rookies and be a bum.
Or you can be a great player and a dickhead.
Yeah.
You can't be both.
Yeah. I was referring to him looking like a street person. Like, they might have just thought he showed up at the facility and they're like, get on out of here, here's a dollar. Good Lord. Get a job, sir. The bum's lost, Ed Reed.
Bubbles, the football player.
A little bit. Is that
Trailer Park Boys?
That's Wire.
Oh.
He's U-God from the Wu-Tang Clan.
The Wire.
He's the one from the Wu-Tang Clan that didn't make it.
ODB? No.
He's dead, but yeah. I guess that's
enough. ODB didn't make it.
He didn't make it.
That's making
not
it.
Today.
It's not, you're making it if you die doing what you love, which was like,
God, that's poignant,
AIDS
Austin.
And
not pneumonia. Showering.
He probably had AIDS, right? ODB?
Shimmy Yah, is that an AIDS reference?
I don't know. I know he got the clap a couple times.
Shimmy Yah? Well, it happens to the worst of us. It can be cured, you fools.
It can be. It's probably time for a segment called I Trusted You. And
Come on up, Austin.
My number's up again. I put my nuts out saying that I didn't think Andre Johnson would do much this week.
And then he did it again.
Well, he didn't do it again.
He did it again.
Here's the thing. He was absolutely drunk.
He got two touchdowns again.
That's my point. Are you going to let me atone or not, you asshole?
Okay, go ahead and atone.
What I'm saying is, just because he has a shitty day yardage-wise, and he is blanketed by a good shutdown corner, he's still a freak of nature. He's still a kind of player that can get two crazy touchdowns, and you can't sit on guys like that, and I will never fucking learn.
Talk about his quarterback.
Yes, Case Keenum understands what needs to be understood about Andre Johnson. He is always open. Yeah,
throw
He's
him
always
the ball.
Open. It's the same thing with Anquan Boldin, Megatron. They are always open. You just have to have the comms to throw it.
There are crazy balls that don't make sense that you don't think they're going to catch, but they're going to catch.
Case Keenum is no Shawbridge. He is no Matt Shawbridge.
And to say nothing of my other picks, they were all shit except for the Andre Brown pick, but that was another glaring mistake. And also, by the way, I didn't do it.
Andre Brown should give Peyton Hillis a big high five for fumbling immediately. Oh,
it was
Coughlin.
Only a matter of time.
30 carries, though, in the first game.
Tom Coughlin is in hell.
Most carries of the week, 30. That's huge.
I like this strategy because Andre Brown will get injured.
Sure.
So you might as well run the balls off of him before he gets injured.
If I owned Andre Brown, I don't know if I would sell high or just go ahead and drop him.
Just drop him.
Because, I mean, 30 carries, that's...
It's a running back. You can trade him to somebody.
That's magical.
I would buy him, I think.
I don't think I'd drive. I think I'd sell high.
We're near the end of the season. Everyone's wheels are falling off. A second Buccaneers running back went down last night.
Christ.
You might get another 2 weeks out of Andre Brown, and that can be the difference between making the playoffs and not making them.
Mike James looked really good, too. That was sad.
Yeah, very sad.
And it was one of those injuries where... Everybody's like, well, maybe he just rolled his ankle. I was like, oh, no, he is sobbing, and there's a cart. He broke something. Something is broken.
He broke all the bones.
It could be a high ankle sprain. I'm like, no, you don't cry.
No.
You cry when you hear, like, the crack and feel the numbness. Yeah. That's when you cry.
Longest I trusted you ever.
It's okay. That song's pretty long. I won't have to edit it down so much this time.
It's time for Yoo-hoo Shithead.
Yoo-hoo Shitheads, I just found a bag of fireworks in the men's restroom. Would you guys like to light them off?
I'm going to go first, and I'm going to take Santonio Holmes.
For the record, these are the players you need to get in your lineups this week.
Yes. We haven't done a little DVOA recap in a while. We mentioned DVOA a lot on this podcast. It is to do with footballoutsiders.com. It's an advanced statistic that takes context into every play. For instance, it does you no good to get 6 yards on 3rd and 9, and that's good. So
there you have it.
Yeah.
DVOA.
I'm going to go with Santonio Holmes. He's back from injury. A lot of Jets receivers are injured. The Buffalo is not terrible necessarily, but
their defense is kind of awesome.
It's 24th against number one wide receivers, 30th in fantasy points. And the last time Santonio Holmes went against Buffalo, he got 154 yards and a touchdown. I don't think we'll see a repeat of that necessarily, but 80 yards and a touchdown, I think, is realistic.
Would you say you have him in your top 25 wide receivers this week?
I do, yes, and I will be starting him.
Woo! Over whom are you starting him, just to give folks a reference? I'm already aware of this.
Emmanuel Sanders, Marcus Colston, Lance Moore.
Ballsy. I would start Colston and Sanders over... Santonio Holmes. I have a feeling we might be revisiting Austin on I Trusted You. I'm doing all these segments as Ricardo Montalban, I think.
I feel old thinking of Santonio Holmes as an old man nowadays, but I mean, if he's still got some juice in the tank, I'm a fan.
You picked a Buckeye. Yeah. Brandon's going to support your decision.
You definitely thought this one out, but no, yeah, Santonio Holmes, go for it.
Is he a Tressel era Buckeye?
He is a two-way player. Played a little corner, played a little receiver. Did it all.
So he was bad then? He's bad at football.
Couldn't
beat the SEC in any games ever.
They didn't play him.
They didn't play? No. San Antonio against no.
They never had
teams.
A Citrus Bowl.
Yeah. Next conversation.
Who's you, Brando?
Yeah. Hey, I am going with the Racy Riley Cooper. He's been showing up big for the Eagles. Past 2 weeks, a total of 149 yards and 5 touchdowns. They're throwing him the ball. I like it. He's a stud. He's a big-ass dude, and he's real fast. And, yeah, we're doing it. Go for it.
Is there a bit of racial profiling going on here, Austin? You can't comment, Brandon. We are judging you.
I don't really necessarily understand what you mean.
I mean, he hustles all the way through racist? The play.
Is this Foles the to Foles, Cooper?
Foles to Cooper. Absolutely.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember Michael Vick.
I think it's unrealistic to think that Riley Cooper is going to put up the insane numbers that he has the last 2 weeks, but it's clear that they have some kind of rapport. And I think as long as Nick Foles is starting, Riley Cooper does have a lot of value. Potential wide receiver one.
Get on YouTube, and they got a highlight reel of him over the past 2 weeks where this guy is kind of mouthing and voicing Riley Cooper as he runs his routes and scores touchdowns. It's offensive, but it is clever.
I'd hate to be playing Riley Cooper most weeks, but this is against the Redskins. Yeah, the Redskins secondary disgusting. Is porous. I think D'Angelo Hall is, I can't believe I'm saying this, emerging as sort of a shutdown corner, whoa, sort of someone who's putting a dent in the wide receiver one's number, which, of course, is DeSean Jackson. So this only helps Riley Cooper.
Yeah.
So I think Riley Cooper's a great play this week. I think he's probably top 20 material. In other words, he's the opposite of Santonio Holmes this week.
We'll see.
We shall see. Who shall you play this week? I say you play over most quarterbacks, Case Keenum.
What?
I have Case Keenum as a top 10 guy this week. He's playing Oakland. And the reason I like Case Keenum is 3 touchdowns versus Arizona? 3 touchdowns versus Arizona.
That's good stout defense.
Yeah.
I believe it now. You know, I wasn't sure, but now I'm starting to feel good. And they can't really run the ball anymore. I mean, they're relying on the likes of Dennis Johnson, who's, as far as I know, a Boston Celtic. So, Case Keenum.
I'm not old enough to get that reference. Did
Bird steals the ball, and then he passes it to DJ, and Jesus H. Christ.
Who is Larry Bird?
It's a good pick. I have no qualms about this. Probably top 8 quarterback this week.
I like him as a top 10 quarterback. I think, you know, you can easily sit people like Eli Manning and the guys who have been haunting you all season who you haven't figured out how you can sit them. We'll pick up Case Keenum and sit them freely, proudly. Oakland.
Over Terrell Pryor in that matchup.
Oh, yes. Okay. Terrell Pryor is, I'm done. I'm out.
He's hobbled too.
I was a huge Terrell Pryor fan, but now that he has a sprained MCL, he has no value to me, and he's shown it lately in fantasy. I think you can freely drop Terrell Pryor in fantasy.
I agree.
I don't think there's I was on the bandwagon, but I've jettisoned.
I need a quarterback so bad.
Well, I just gave it to you, my friend.
Yeah. I'm nervous about Casey.
You should be so lucky. Our waiver wire is a Houston players. Pool.
Waiver wires aren't fun.
No.
This time of year they aren't fun. People have sussed out the goodies.
I'm gonna go with Brian Leonard for my second one. I don't think Brian Leonard is a good running back.
He's a Rutgers man, though.
And
he's a Shiano man.
He's a Shiano man.
He's a hustle player.
He's also, the offense in general looks a little more, he's a gym rat.
I've jumped the shark on these quotables.
Yeah. He's just got really good fundamentals. I don't think he's a good football player, but I do think he's in a good spot. The Buccaneers offense actually looks decent. Glennon under the helm, at the helm.
Don Flamenco.
And he will get the goal line carries. This could be one of those freak games where he gets like 3 goal line carries or something.
Rainey did get a goal line carry. He got the goal line touchdown, actually.
Touchdown. Oh, it was right after his long run.
Yeah, he got the goal line touchdown. But where I like where you're going, I think both Rainey and Leonard are worth an ad if you're in trouble or have the room. I think the fact that he went to Rutgers is huge because Shiano's such a fucking fool. He wants his guys. He wants to play his guys. He wants his guys to do well. He wants Shiano, man.
And by the way, Atlanta just gave up 191 yards.
It's kind of a coin flip between he and Rainey, but
Marshawn Lynch.
We'll just have to see.
Rainey, I think they both could have value, to be honest.
Here's the thing. Leonard's definitely better in pass protection and definitely is going to be the guy in on third down. So there's just more opportunity there than there is for Rainey.
Yeah.
Rainey's certainly more likely to bust a big run, I think. But, yeah, I like Brian Leonard much more than Rainey. The matchup's good. I still hate to play Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't like to do that.
I'm open to it. Who you got, Brandon?
I'm going to call an audible. I'm going to go back on what I said earlier about who I was going to pick. And I just keep hearing his voice in my head and the sheer will of determination. And he played like a madman in the second half.
He must be white.
No, he did. He's not. He's joking. He's the furthest thing from white. Oh, his name is Delanie Walker.
Oh, well.
Yeah, Delanie, a very popular name in these circles, caught a touchdown pass, just played his ass
black
off.
Man's name.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Isn't it's that right, Austin?
It's also Austin's wife's correct. Name, but it's principally a black man's name.
Delanie Walker came over from the 49ers after backing up Vernon Davis for about 3 or 4 years.
How badly are they regretting letting him walk, by the way?
Yeah, he looks really good. He played like a madman the second half, and then he came out with some of the best quotables after that Jaguars loss.
Some Pollardisms.
Oh, very much so. They were going neck and neck for who was going to be the most outrageous.
Those are two rabid dogs. I love them.
I don't think Walker is the kind of guy that doesn't back it up, so I'm putting my money behind him. I'm going Delanie Walker against the Colts in the Thursday night game. And Fitzpatrick has a limp dick for an arm.
I think that's the most important point you've made.
Yeah, I'd throw that in there.
Fitzpatrick, I think Kendall Wright and the tight ends. Thompson, who also scored.
Also looks
week.
Good. Yeah, good player.
He only got one catch, but I like him. But yeah, I think the deep threats take a serious hit with Fitzpatrick at the helm. I like Delanie Walker. I think he's suddenly... Like, I have Martellus Bennett, and I think Delanie Walker and Martellus Bennett, I think that's a coin toss. I think that's a matchup decision now.
I think so, too.
Well, I want to talk about Delanie Walker just for a moment, though, because if the Niners keep Delanie Walker, when the inevitable and frequent Vernon Davis injuries happen, they're not completely worthless. Right now, when he goes down, they're completely worthless.
Completely.
When he went down in this Carolina game, I knew the outcome.
All offense stopped.
It's ridiculous.
And they were winning.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He might be one, you know, outside of a quarterback and a Megatron type player, one of the most valuable players in that sense of the word. Like, we're, you know, he's not up for the MVP, but when he's out, they are awful.
Their success hinges on him.
I have to agree with Brandon. It's really weird. Feel strange. Feel nauseous. Let's move on. I will give you Andre Ellington one more time.
Over and over again.
It's the second time I've given him to you, but it's been nice to me.
Well, he also had a bit of a dud this last week. So.
He did. But this week, and despite having a bit of a dud, he played 31 of 66 snaps versus Houston, and Mendenhall fumbled again, this time on the 5. I know Arians is saying that he still stands behind Mendenhall, but I think there's a lot of history there. I mean, at some point, he's going to look at the numbers, right? You can take out Ellington's 20-plus yard runs, of which he has 4. He still is averaging 5 yards per carry to Mendenhall's paltry 3.5.
Good night.
He's doing this playing less than half the snaps, but the fact that he's getting to the halfway point to me is very, very telling. Plus, it's Jacksonville.
Yep.
There's an abundance of points to be had, think. I thought that last week against with the Titans, and apparently no. But I think, you know, this is... a big week for Ellington. I think he's a top 10 play as well. I'm going with 2 top 10 plays. I'm trying to be bold. It feels really weird. This is out of character. Somebody else talk.
I like the Ellington call. I think we're all big fans of Ellington's potential. He just needs a little self-actualization and come through and be the guy we think he can be.
Well, it's not self-actualization. It's Arians actualization.
We sort of – it's easy when you're in a video game world to just bench people.
Right.
And to just discard the folks that aren't really working out for you. And
mental health.
It's a little more nuanced, I think, when you're a head coach.
Right. It's like the Shiano man argument I made. This is an Arians man. This is Mendenhall.
This is an Arians man.
They're probably fucking friends. They've probably shared holiday dinners.
They probably shared women.
But at some point, I
doubt that. Have you looked at Bruce Arians?
Ellington is the Cardinals' best game of the year, featured Ellington prominently and had one of the best plays of the year. And his snaps are increasing and increasing and
Mendenhall was out entirely for that game, too.
Yes. And I mean,
so it's like Arians had a ready-made excuse.
And I mean,
and now he doesn't.
Mendenhall jeopardized that game for them
certainly
last week. I mean, they still pulled it out, but if they had an extra touchdown, it would have never been in doubt. Probably.
Pretty weird. Arizona is in the thick of the playoff hunt.
They have a great defense, and I think Bruce Arians is a very good coach.
I think.
Oh, everything we just said aside, I think Arians is a great coach.
He has a loyalty to a certain player, but I think that the reason I'm recommending him is I think that Arians is too good of a coach to let this go.
Okay.
He's paying lip service to Mendenhall. Mendenhall will definitely play the first snap of the game. But I think this we might see Mendenhall get more snaps than Mendenhall. Ellington get more snaps than Mendenhall this week, finally.
It, as a side note, it would not surprise me to see the Cardinals make the playoffs and the 49ers miss the playoffs.
Holy balls. Really?
Yes.
I need to look at schedules.
Against the grain. Wow, 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 wow.
That was incredibly loud.
Yeah. You went against the grain, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a guitar solo singing at me.
It's Dan Patrick Show shit.
Don't worry, that out.
I don't listen to the Dan Patrick Show.
Well, then you'd know what it sounds like to be decent on the radio.
I guess I would.
The look on your face
is
uncomfortable for me.
You're getting it from both sides.
Oh, God, it's like double Blumpkins.
That'll do it for the Yoo-Hoo Shitheads. Now it's the inverse of the Yoo-Hoo Shithead.
What you should do is sit on these people. Do not play them.
James Mason
says.
James Mason. I will do the next pick as James Mason.
Thank you.
James Mason recommends that you sit on Maurice Jones-Drew against the Arizona Cardinals.
And why?
Arizona is number 2 in DVOA against the run. I know that MJD has shown signs of life, as have the Jaguars, and that MJD has had 2 straight double-digit performances. Not this week. You don't run on Arizona, especially when your team is the worst in the league.
Plus,
or second worst counting the Titans.
Plus, Todd Mania is running wild.
Todd, yes, Jeremy Todman.
That's not his name.
That's not his name.
Jordan Todman got a goal line carry.
That's right.
And you know Mojo was pissed, man. He's into fantasy. He was super fucking pissed.
Todman has had some decent moments.
Todd Mania.
I honestly don't know who the fuck that is. I watch his game.
He was the other little bitty running back.
Mm.
May even have dreadlocks.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I'm not going to look it up because I don't give a shit.
Todd Maniacs.
Do you have anything else to add, either of you?
No, I'm not starting Maurice Jones-Drew against the Cardinals. No, that's very easy.
I don't think it's... I wouldn't call it easy. What else are they going to do except run the ball? So at this point in the season, if there's a lot of people that I would start MJD over. So, I mean, I'm very comfortable with that idea.
Where do you put
MJD? You're very comfortable with starting MJD.
Yeah.
Over whom?
Huh.
Chris Johnson.
You have to understand that there's a real possibility.
I'm starting Chris Johnson this week.
There's a real possibility that no Jaguars do anything.
You starting MJD over Chris Johnson against the Colts?
I don't like
it. Colts are shit against the runs.
I don't like anything that Chris Johnson does after this week. I'm a little bitter about
that game. I understand.
I'm hurt.
I believe that Chris Johnson is back. This is the real Chris Johnson.
Yeah, we got a dose of the old.
Yes.
And now it's back to the one that the CJ no 2K.
The surprise in people's voices in Nashville. I can't believe he played so shitty. He was so good the week before. Like, we've never seen this before.
Every time I say that Chris Johnson on this podcast is going to do great, he does shitty. So I'm saying he's going to suck.
Okay.
And we're going to see what happens.
Deal.
MJD over Chris Johnson, yes.
So it's like you're calling the election for Romney.
I don't know what that has anything to do with. We said no politics earlier.
the mighty reverse jinx.
Yeah. Who's the shitty?
I think, are we all going to this game? Did you guys get tickets? Get tickets, Austin.
I don't want to go.
Why? It's a Thursday night game.
I know.
You don't even miss any other games.
It'll be cold.
What, do you have youth group? Come on, go to the football game.
I have anything else going on.
We're going to eat barbecues.
I like it to barbecue.
Sorry, I don't want to go.
This is weird.
We're ashamed.
Well, I mean, that you're saying this isn't weird,
ashamed.
But... We're talking about it. I'm going to go. Maybe I can get some of that pork belly. That shit is dope.
Yeah, that should be pretty good.
Oh, God.
I'm excited for my face. Pork belly.
Absolutely. I'm going to meet Eddie George before the game.
I'm trying to get the bacon loaf to happen.
I met Eddie George.
I've met him once.
Were you at Blue Jeans or some other gay bar?
I was at
Sloco. That's it. You know, there's one thing you don't bring up on this show, and it's that.
What, Eddie George's Leighton Gaines? I guess it's not so latent anymore, is it? It's kind of just an out-and-out thing.
The only person that ever says it. It's not that it's a bad thing, and it's not.
I'm calling in the producer. I'm calling in the producer.
Uh-oh.
It's a pretty widely regarded quote-unquote rumor.
We know Eddie George is gay. I like Eddie George. I like gay people. I like Eddie George, the gay person.
That's fine.
He made a fantastic Julius Caesar in the latest TPAC production of Julius Caesar. I'm not making that up. He played Julius Caesar. He is a thespian. And I don't know if you know this, but thespian is a synonym for lesbian.
Never heard you pronounce that word correctly.
Thespian.
What do I usually say?
Thespian?
Thespian.
Thespian.
It's not thespian. It's thespian.
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 Say thespian. Troy of the Steelers' last name.
Troy Polamalu. I could have fixed it.
Let's go with Polamalu.
In the interest, authenticity.
The Australian Eric, who played the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, shit. Do I say that wrong also?
Yeah.
Eric Bana?
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
Bana.
Jesus H. Christ. Well, he needs a fucking accent
it's
mark somewhere.
It's two syllables.
I thought it was Eric Bana.
Bana or Bana, I've heard of.
I think John Burr
is the only person I've talked to that pronounces it Bana.
Eric Bana. That's not correct?
No.
That if it was Bana, there would be an accent, and it would be over the second A.
Yeah.
To let you know, that's where your accent is.
You're totally right.
You are letting the guy with a fucking mustache and country accent teach you about shit.
Man. Things. I really love
it. Is thespian.
Yeah, thespian.
Is this a podcast about funny people? The movie Funny People? This is a fantasy football podcast.
I've never seen
funny
people.
Who's up? I didn't see it either. Adam Sandler's in it. I got a hard and fast rule.
It's me.
Do it.
It's harder than it is fast. Giovanni Bernard sit on him against Cleveland.
Oh, I did that last week. It sucked.
Yeah, well, I can't keep it up, and Cleveland's got a real good defense. I feel like they shut down pretty much everybody. Going to go ahead and get that in. Yeah, stats?
You didn't give much of an argument. I like Giovanni Bernard this week.
I'm fine.
There's, I think, about a 50-50 shot that Bernard doesn't do anything. That he's not a consistent running back.
I
still like him as an electric football player, and he's a weapon that they have. I think this could backfire.
He has overtaken Benjingus Green Jingus. He's out snapping him. He's out touching him. The guy is starting to score pretty regularly. The only thing that hurts him is that terrible play he made where he lost 13 yards at the end of the game. Maybe they bench him because of that.
On fourth down, too.
It's the worst play.
It looked like he was going to work out there for a second.
I'm digging deep on a stat here.
Yes.
But the Browns, while they are good against the run, are 27th against pass-catching running backs.
Oh, ooh. That's not good for you.
See, you know, if I followed the DVOA more, I would know that, and I wouldn't make picks like this. So that shows you how valuable these stats are at footballoutsiders.com.
We'll measure this next week, whether it was valuable, but I think it's valuable. That's a huge asset for him.
That's how he got me last week. I got rescued by Austin, and I trusted you this week for picking against Andre 2 weeks in a row, but I picked against Giovanni Bernard against a much better defense than the Browns last week, and he burned me.
He's a good football player. The future is bright.
I love him.
Future is bright for Giovanni Bernard.
I love Giovanni.
I hope that they get rid of Benjingus in the offseason. Except that if they do, they'll probably pick up somebody.
They don't even have to get rid of him. He just needs to be a different.
Know his place.
Yes, correct.
Sure. Who's your last one? Is that it?
No, I haven't even gone.
Oh well.
My first one is Le'Veon Bell versus Detroit. Basically, I believe that if Matt Forte can't get anything going against Detroit, then Le'Veon Bell can't. Le'Veon's going to get the touches, just like Forte got the touches. But here's the difference. Chicago stayed in that game against Detroit. I think this is likely a blowout. And that doesn't bode well for Le'Veon Bell. So I think this is a guy who slips. You know, he's been probably in your top 20 lately, your top 15. I think he slips out of that. I think there's a lot of guys you start over him. Even the dreadful Chris Johnson and perhaps even Mojo Drew this week is probably
the has-beens.
Well, the man can score in a blowout. He got 13 points in a game against New England.
Right.
It
relies on a goal line carry.
I don't know if it does. He got 14 this week without one. No, sorry. The 13 came without a goal line carry.
13 points?
13 points came without a goal line carry.
That was a goal line carry.
Not this week. Last week.
I'm unfamiliar with it. So it was a longer run? That was against New England, who's bad against the run.
He didn't score a touchdown at all.
Oh, so 130 yards. That's against New England, who's bad against the run. Detroit's very good against the run. So there is my argument. You can't run on Detroit. But boy, you sure can pass on Detroit.
Fair enough.
And he doesn't catch any balls.
He could be rubbish.
Yeah, get ready for a little Jonathan Dwyer, little Felix Jones.
Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
have we seen any of Felix Jones lately?
Oh, yeah, he's been playing.
Has he?
Mm-hmm. Third downs, weird.
Worthless.
Creepy.
My last one is Eddie Lacy. I am not a Tolzien believer, J.R.R. Tolzien. I think they're going to stack so the box bad. Against the stack the box. We can edit that out. Probably not, though. We can.
I'm not editing.
They can stack the box against Tolles and dare him to throw deep, and I think that's going to have repercussions on the running game. And already he's sort of suffered. Eddie Lacy has.
I disagree. I think you got to when you have. I mean. Big Ten fan here.
Yeah, I think you're fucked.
I think Tolzien is a game manager, especially playing at Wisconsin. You're going to have to rely on that running game to set up the play action pass. They're not going to be able to spread it out like they would with Aaron Rodgers and fling it around. So someone's going to have to pick up the loose change on the ground for that offense. Nobody else can do anything.
Scott, it is the Giants, by the way, and they are a good running defense.
Yeah, your issue is not the running defense. Your issue is that Green Bay is throwing to the halfback, third most in the league. Scott Tolzien averaged over 17 yards per attempt this week. Scott Tolzien has one of the Big Ten's longest yards per attempt. Scott Tolzien also has the best completion percentage in Big Ten history over the last 10 years. Scott Tolzien is kind of good. And he's much better than Seneca Wallace.
He is probably much better than Seneca Wallace.
The biggest problem I think you have is that you have overlooked Eddie Lacy's very prominent role in the passing game, and that he catches a lot of short passes.
Call me Brandon Burke.
Give Brad a chance. Give Brad a chance. But I do think New York has a much better defense than people think. But I am worried. I think Eddie Lacy's still a pretty good play this week.
I think we see a stagnant offense. I think maybe he gets 60 to 70 yards and no touchdowns this week.
This game inside or outside?
Out, no.
Okay, so in Green Bay?
It's in the cold. Either way, it's in the cold. We're talking New York or
no, it's in New York. New Jersey.
I'm thinking Detroit. Whatever, I'm dumb. Yeah,
we're talking Jersey.
Well, you're up, actually. So
I am up. I'm going with sit on Ridley this week for the Patriots against Carolina. I made big money.
Stevon Ridley?
Yes, whatever you want to call him. I don't know. The name is not spelled right, so I just went last name Ridley. First name Charlie Wilson, and I picked against Frank Gore running against Carolina last week, paid off dividends, and Carolina's defense is just amazing now.
Stout.
Yeah, they're good.
Luke Kuechly.
I really think that they won't stop Tom Brady, but I think they'll stop that running game. It's kind of one of those offenses, and I think we've seen that from the Patriots. When they can't run the ball, they're going to spread it wide with whoever they can fucking throw out at wide receiver. And Tom Brady's going to throw a lot of dink and dunk passes.
You didn't mention him, but I think Shane Vereen plays a part in this.
He is back.
Yep.
He is available.
And especially, I mean, even pass catching out of the backfield. I mean, that's another way to create that separation for the offense.
You're in a similar scenario as my Le'Veon Bell pick in that you could be sunk by goal line carries because it looks like Shane Vereen's gotten that back. Or excuse me, Stevon Ridley's gotten that back. But I'd like it in... I like your thought process. Carolina has a great defense, and I think Vereen's going to have an impact. I think we're going to see not like week one Shane Vereen, but like half a week one Shane Vereen. You know, probably 10 points, 10 fantasy points. PPR leagues, really like Shane Vereen this week.
And yeah, his injury was a wrist injury too, so it's not like he is hobbled.
Yeah, he's been healthy for a while. They've been taking him slowly because you know they don't have anything to fucking. Yeah. There's no reason.
The division is theirs.
Yeah, ugh, should disgusting.
Be who's your last one?
This is a very dull one, but just in case you think that Lamar Miller's 7 carries for 2 yards performance was an anomaly, don't start Lamar Miller versus San Diego, okay? He was out-touched by Daniel Thomas yet again. I think the Bucks got up early on Miami. If you don't think the Chargers are going to get up early on Miami and take Lamar out of the game, you're in trouble. Bullygate has rendered that offensive line truly horrendous. I know he had 80 yards, at least 80 yards in the 3 previous games, but I think those days are past.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
in stereo, boys.
Any potential fantasy production from Lamar Miller is going to be incognito. Right.
1, 2, 3.
Yes.
I love it. I love what you did there, boys.
Never play Lamar Miller again.
Being there.
I think you're okay to bench Lamar Miller the rest of the year.
Oh, absolutely. I am more proud of trading Lamar Miller last week than any trade I have ever made.
And this is Austin's, we talked about on the draft preview, second round, first pick, Lamar Miller.
I didn't end up doing it, thank God.
Austin had one of those magical drafts where he had a strategy. Had he unfurled that strategy, it would have been horrendous. Fortunately, he could not unfurl that strategy.
Fortunately.
And the person in front of me took Stevan Ridley.
Yes.
And that sort of blew everything out of the water.
Indeed.
And so I ended up having a great draft and made a bunch of stupid trades. So if I had made no trades, I would have a much better season than I've had so far.
I don't know if that's true.
It's most definitely true.
I don't think so.
I had a great draft.
We won't discuss it now. But I think Colin Kaepernick, you would have started him too many times. He would have sunk you too many times. I think you're going to be okay. You're going to make the playoffs. What's the next segment of the show?
We don't have too many questions this week.
I think we have no questions. I forgot to put out questions.
But Daddy's got a question. I'm Daddy.
You're the Daddy now.
Hey Dingus asks, I've got Tony Romo on a bye, and my backup was Jay Cutler.
Right.
Jay Cutler is out. Jay Cutler may not get his job back. I'm going to drop him.
You need to drop him. Let me ask you a series of questions. Okay. Is Jason Campbell available on the waiver wire?
He is.
That's your man.
Not a great matchup, though.
Not a great matchup. It's him or Scott Tolzien. For other listeners out there, Case Keenum has already been mentioned and is a fantastic pickup. But I'm assuming there aren't a lot of guys left.
I might be wrong, by the way. I don't know if Campbell is out there.
Also, you could look at McCown, who is basically Cutler. 75% of Cutler, maybe with 20 rushing
yards.
So
Campbell's at Cincinnati.
Right. Cincinnati is not the Cincinnati of yore. They have 4 defensive starters out.
That's true.
That needs to be taken into account.
Currently, I have a claim in for Geno Smith at Buffalo.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it.
No, I like everyone I just said more than that. Brandon, what do you think?
McCown at home to Baltimore, I don't
think
it's a good play.
That's very tough.
That's not a good play.
That would have been tough for you to start Cutler this week regardless.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I drafted Mike Vick as my quarterback, and I've been rolling with Terrell Pryor. I am in the same boat as Alston.
Oh, Jesus.
I am grasping, and right now I'm listening.
Okay, I think you're talking about a Tolzien or Campbell decision.
Is Keenum available in your league?
Yes.
Keenum's easy.
Keenum's the one, then.
But if he's not the one, I think Tolzien or Campbell are your two only choices. I think, that's it. Sorry. That's rough. That's tough,
guys. I guess
I'll
go Campbell then.
That's tough.
Yeah.
They're both going to be throwing the goddamn ball.
I mean, over past years, I just feel like there's always been a quarterback that you can just pick up. But this year, so many injuries, so many number one quarterbacks are down. They're really at a premium this year and kind of bucks a trend where normally everyone's grasping for running backs. There's like people without quarterbacks right now.
I was feeling pretty smug. I'd made what I thought was a pretty good trade last week and ended up with Romo, which is not a huge normally downgrade from Drew Brees.
This
past week
was just a nightmarish exercise in humility.
And I didn't do my homework and ended up with a bye week this week. And even then, I would have felt okay starting Cutler if he was truly healthy, but then he shat the bed and is fucked now. So I'm fucked too.
Is Peyton Manning available?
Good news is I'm playing Russell.
On the waiver wire?
No, Peyton Manning is not available.
Playing Russell is not good news.
Hey, how much...
I think...
How much action does Muggy get in this team anymore?
Is Roethlisberger...
Is he around?
Brandon, is Roethlisberger available in your league?
He is.
That's someone worth looking at.
Certainly.
That goes against every principle I've ever laid down.
I know he's not available in our league, Austin, but for people who are in similar quandaries, Mike Glennon against the Falcons is not horrific.
I also have a little bit of hope that somebody is going to drop somebody. We're past a lot of bye weeks. I think folks are going to start dropping quarterbacks and start picking up extra defenses and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of hope there, too, but I think Campbell's probably who I have to go with.
I mean, it's a nightmare, but...
I know that you shudder and fear Russell, but...
I mean, I think your absolute desperation play is Glennon. Just above that is Fitzpatrick.
Good God.
Oh.
I mean, it's not a good situation. There's no right answer here.
That's true.
I would roll with Tolzien and pray for miracle, but I know how you feel about Tolzien.
No, I don't believe. And it's not a good matchup for him either.
No, it's not.
So, okay. We'll talk to you next week. I'll tell you how it went. Or I won't, because no one cares about it.
What a grim ending. Austin's fantasy woes.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Austin and Brandon simultaneously depressing
just quarterback woes.
You hear a gunshot.
All is not lost. I have a quarterback.